I would have never predicted that a winery could change my life. But when I walked into the empty tasting room at Bellasguardo on the first weekend in May of my 30th year, a feeling came over me. The kind you get when you taste a new food for the first time and you know it will be your favorite. Or when you see a guy across a bookstore and you know he'll be your new boyfriend. It was like inspiration. Never before had an empty room made me feel like I belonged in it. But this room had that quality. The tasting room, whitewashed stucco with exposed beams, was infused with the soothing, earthy smell of a room that had seen a lot. A room that knew things. A huge brick fireplace was embedded in the wall on one side, and a floor-to-ceiling diamond-shaped wine rack filled the back of the room. An ornate oak bar was to the right, with nobody behind it, but two glasses were placed right in the middle, an open bottle of wine with a black label on it between them. A perfect photo. A brown and white Cavalier King Charles Spaniel lounged in a patch of light from a window in the back corner. The dog lifted his head slightly to acknowledge me, and I nodded in his direction. He lazily put his head back on the floor, thumped his tail a few times, and closed his eyes. Clearly, he approved of me. My boyfriend Ethan and I had spent the day driving up from San Francisco to Sonoma, taking more than 3 hours to do a one-hour drive. We had wound around the twists and turns of Highway 1, stopping to get out and appreciate the view based on Ethan's pre-trip evaluation of the best lookout spots on our route. We held hands, gritted our teeth, and dipped our toes into the cold water of Muir Beach, and gasped the view from the cliffs in Point Reyes. My iPhone photographs didn't come out nearly as good as Ethan's DSLR photos, but I took the time to imprint the vista on my brain. In the age of Instagram and Snapchat, I think a memory is the most private thing. When things are important, I make a point of closing my eyes and taking a mental photo. We were about to go back to New York to start our real lives, leaving the beauty of the Pacific Coast behind us. We were both in California for graduate school at Berkeley's Haas School, and we were still awed by its resplendence, on days that weren't foggy, of course. We lived for the fog-free days. It seemed almost criminal to be returning to the East Coast after just 2 years in the West, but jobs beckoned. Our last stand would be a weekend in wine country. We had arrived in Sonoma at around 11 and had dropped our bags at the front desk of the El Dorado Hotel. Our room wasn't ready yet, so we were advised to walk to Bellasguardo. "It's Sonoma's oldest and most beautiful winery," the woman behind the desk wearing a name tag that read Betty had told us. She drew us a map of the town and showed us how to get there. "And when you've worked up an appetite, come back here and go to the girl in the fig across the street. Get the lavender creme brulee, no matter how full you are. It's the best." The winery hadn't been on Ethan's carefully planned itinerary, although the restaurant had. He preferred to plan trips down to the hour, with attractions, restaurants, and hotels that he carefully selected based on an amalgam of travel websites and message boards he visited. But since we had arrived an hour early, his itinerary hadn't kicked in yet. "It sounds amazing," I said. Ethan silently acquiesced to the change in plan, although I could tell that he was irritated. But he smiled and took my hand, and we walked together, following the hand-drawn map rather than the blue dot on our iPhones.
"I feel so lucky to be here with you," he said.
I felt lucky to be with him. Or at the very least, I felt lucky to be with anyone after many years as a single woman in New York City. Plus, it felt good to be away from the pressure cooker of the past few months of school. The competition for jobs had been fierce, and many of my friendships had frayed, especially with my best friend, Tyra.
We'd both interned at Goldman the summer before, and I had beat her out for the job in global investment research in New York. It was a perfect job for me because it was focused more on research and writing than on straight data analysis. Math hadn't always been my strong suit, although I had made it through accounting and macroeconomics relatively unscathed. Tyra had been offered the same job in Singapore, which she had grudgingly accepted. But I knew she still didn't think it was fair. I'm worried about graduation, packing, moving back. I'm gonna miss California, and I still feel bad about Tyra.
2 days off, away from all of that garbage, he said. You'll be fine. You have plenty of time to pack, and if you don't, you'll just hire someone to do it. You're going to be rich soon.
I don't know, I said, unconvinced.